مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our program. Alhamdulillah, we shall be hearing about the life, the blessed biography of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated that that person who recites durood upon me once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall forgive 10 of his sins, shall grant him 10 good deeds, and shall elevate him by 10 rungs. My dear viewers, this is just by sending one salat, durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Imagine reciting it 100 times. Let's make the intention to recite it as much as possible, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, we have previously begun the story of Al-Isra, my dear viewers, and then Al-Mi'raj also, inshallahu azza wa jal, we shall come to today. Previously, we have learned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was at his house as Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam had come, as well as many other angels, thousands. He was then taken to the Al-Ka'batul Musharrafa, my dear viewers. His blessed chest was split open and he came to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, my dear viewers, the faraway masjid. Now, upon having arrived there, he was given the option of milk or wine or alcohol, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had chosen the milk, my dear viewers, and he had also chosen for us too. It has been stated that he then came towards the masjid, and within the masjid, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam had led each and every single prophet physically. He had led them in prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had led them in prayer. Yes, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived, he met Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, he met Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, he met Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam. It said that each and every single prophet was on the minbar, they were taking turns. And on the minbar, my dear viewers, they were all speaking in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Another conversation which was taking place was that they were discussing between themselves the signs of the akhirah. So one person would ask another one, tell us what are the signs of the akhirah. But from them, only Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was able to answer this. And why this is, inshallah azza wa jal, maybe today if you get the chance, inshallah azza wa jal, we shall learn about this. But when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had met Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he had met Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he described them. He describes Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam as his hair was, he had long hair, and his hair was moist, and it was extremely moist and extremely beautiful. He said that he was of a white color, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was. And he also explains the strength of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, something to take from this, something to learn from this, is that in the previous episode, we stated that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was traveling from Al-Makkah al-Mukarramah to Jerusalem, then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasalam, he traveled, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, and as he was traveling, he saw Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in his grave. But when he arrives, now he's gone on the Burak, which was as fast as lightning. When he arrives at the in Jerusalem, Masjid Aqsa, he also sees that the Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is already there. And later we'll learn that when he goes to the heavens, he'll see that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is there. So the scholars state in regards to this that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yes, he was traveling on the Burak. Yes, the Burak is as fast as lightning. But the other prophets, they used their strength and speed of prophethood, my dear viewers. And that of prophethood is faster than anything else. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam could also have chosen this. But in order, my dear viewers, sometimes you bring the guest of honor at the end. It's not suitable for the guest of honor to come first, no. But the guest of honor comes at the end, my dear viewers, in order for the rest of the prophets to welcome Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. It said that then some state that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam himself, he performed the azan, and upon his performing the azan, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam took the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and moved him forward to lead the rest of the prophets in prayer. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had completed the prayer, then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had asked Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, do you know who you led in prayer? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said, no Jibreel. Who? Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had stated that you led each and every single prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to the world. So approximately 124,000 prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were there, my dear viewers. And the greatest of all prophets, the Imam al-Anbiya, the Imam of the prophets, was none other than Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So then Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, he continued his journey. Now remember that first we have the sky which we can see, my dear viewers. But then way beyond that begins the first heaven, followed by the second up until the seventh, etc. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then makes his way up. Before he comes to the first heaven, it's mentioned that they knock on the door and it's asked, who is it? And the reply comes, it is Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. Now some may be thinking that why was it that the doors were not open? Why is it that they had to knock on this particular door? And then only upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying Muhammad was it open for him. My dear viewers, one brilliant, mashallah wa azzajal, one brilliant reason mentioned is it is stated that in Allah ta'ala arada an yutli'ahu ala kawnihi ma'rufun 'inda ahli as-samawat. That just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to all the prophets on the earth, similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to show him that he was also famous amongst the angels or the people of the heavens, the people of the skies. Because if the doors had already been opened, then somebody may say or may think that it is just another person traveling through. No. But these doors were only to be opened upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passing through these doors. So as soon as they heard the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then immediately they opened them, showing to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one thing, they know who he is, and secondly, that these doors could only be opened for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. When he came to the first heaven, it said that he saw Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa had presented him salam. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam had replied and welcomed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then went to the next heaven. And one thing to remember, in fact, just a separate point, something to point out, is that everything in relation to souls is from the first heaven. So even when a soul is taken and when a child is born, the soul is taken from the first heaven and then, my dear viewers, it is placed within the child by the angel. So everything is related in terms of souls to the first heaven, my dear viewers. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then went towards the second heaven. Again, he knocked on the door again, he was asked, who is it? And the same answer was given, Muhammad. And then they said, Ahlan wa sahlan bikum, Ya Rasulullah. And the angels, they ordered the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. In the second heaven, he saw Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, as well as Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam. And he said that the reason for this is that the second heaven relates to miracles and the signs of the Day of Judgment. This is the reason why when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and the prophets were speaking about signs of the Day of Judgment, my dear viewers, that the rest were not able to answer, but Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was. And the reason for this is because he is in the second heavens. So when Hazrat Isa, you must remember that he was never killed, he was never crucified, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen to raise him, and this was his mi'raj. His mi'raj was to the second heaven, my dear viewers. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was at the second heaven. And the reason for this is two things. One, miracles. And the second is signs of the Day of Judgment. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, as well as Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, they were both given miraculous births. Hazrat Isa was born without a father. Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam was born so early where it was a miracle for him to be born. So then again Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he says to them, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give them salam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gives salam, and they reply. So some may be thinking that why is it that throughout the entire journey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has to constantly be told by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, okay, now do this, now do this, and now do this. Subhanallah, the scholars say, and this is beautiful, that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam was drowned so much in the love and excitement of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he became ghafilin anil anam. He detached his thoughts, my dear viewers, from everything else, from all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning his mind was only on one thing, and this was that he will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his thoughts and everything was away from the entire world. So much so that the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and had to instruct him, okay, now do this, now do that, etc., etc. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam then went to the third heaven, where he met Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. This is in regards to beauty and in regards to dreams. So those who possess beauty, it comes from the third heaven. And whenever we have a dream, that also comes from the third heaven. And it's Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was famous for his interpretation of dreams, my dear viewers. Within the fourth heaven was Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the heaven of knowledge. It was Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam who we spoke about. He created the pen, he introduced mathematics. He was the same Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, who was extremely famous for his knowledge. So he then moved up to the next heaven, the fifth heaven, and in this place there was Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, the successor of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And this heaven, the fifth heaven, refers to Ar-Rahma wa-Ra'afa, my dear viewers, where it refers to the mercy and kindness, compassion. And Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wasalam was so merciful, so compassionate, that even his enemies, even the non-believers, even they would have trust in his compassion and his kindness, and they would be inclined towards him. The sixth heaven Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam then went to, each and every single one knocking at the door, the question being asked who it is, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam stated, it is Muhammad. Then he went to the sixth heaven. There he saw Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The sixth heaven, my dear viewers, this pertains to the ahkam or religion, the rulings, the Islamic laws, my dear viewers. And it is this reason why whenever the Prophet ﷺ returned with first 50 prayers, this moved on to 45, to 40, etc., all the way up to 5. This is the reason why the Prophet ﷺ descended lower than the seventh heaven and went to the sixth heaven. And it was written Musa alayhi salatu wasalam who requested to the Prophet ﷺ to have the prayers shortened, to make them less. The reason being is that he was now in the sixth heaven, which pertain to the laws, my dear viewers. So, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, after having seen him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam then went to the seventh and the last heaven. And in the seventh heaven, he saw Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was leaning against the Bayt al-Ma'mur. The Bayt al-Ma'mur is like the Al-Ka'bat al-Masharafa on the earth. But just the way the people do tawaf around the Kaaba on the earth, the angels do tawaf around the Bayt al-Ma'mur, 70,000 of them, in the heavens, in the seventh heaven, my dear viewers. And in fact, he said that there is one in each heaven. And each of and every single one of these are directly linked. Meaning it's stated about the Bayt al-Ma'mur that لَوْ خَرَّ لَخَرَّ عَلَيْهِ, that if the Bayt al-Ma'mur was to fall, then it would directly fall upon the Al-Ka'bat al-Masharrafa. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was leaning against the Bayt al-Ma'mur. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam gave him salam. He replied to the salam. And then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had said, I give my salam to your ummah. And he left a message for us to recite, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, regularly, my dear viewers. And this seventh heaven pertains to the heaven of Tawheed. I don't wish to go into too much detail, my dear viewers, because I wish to complete this topic in this episode. So then moving on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the seventh heaven, there is the Sidratul Muntaha. The Sidratul Muntaha, my dear viewers, is known as the law tree. It's said about its leaves that they are the size of the elephant, the size of elephant ears, and its fruits are the size of jugs of a particular tribe. This is the, you know, we can imagine how huge this tree was. It's known as Muntaha because it is mentioned that the knowledge of everybody below it, that's where it completes. That the knowledge of everybody below it, that's where it completes, my dear viewers. And anybody or anything which is below is not be able to go above. For example, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, it's also mentioned that it's the throne of Hazrat Jibreel. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is not able to go past the Sidratul Muntaha, neither is any other angel or anything below the tree able to go past it. And those angels who are above the Sidratul Muntaha, they are not able to come below. Which angels would be above? For example, those holding the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then comes to the Sidratul Muntaha. It said that Ridwan, who is the guardian of Jannah, he comes. And he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gives salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so does the guardian of the fire of hell, my dear viewers. He also comes, his name is Malik. Now when he comes before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that he doesn't smile. And the reason being is due to him having seen the fire of hell, that he can never smile. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had asked why he is not smiling. And this was the answer given. Although Hazrat Jibreel says, Ya Rasulullah, if he ever was to smile, then Ya Rasulullah, he would smile to you, Ya Rasulullah. He would smile upon seeing you. But he's such a person, he would never smile. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the fire of hell. And also those who have passed away, all the Muslim believers who have passed away before us. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went forward. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said to Rasulullah that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can no longer accompany. If I was to go further, then my wings would burn. Now, although he was made of Noor, my dear viewers, although angels are made of light, but this is such a level which he has no permission to go further. So then the rest of the journey, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued alone. Past the Sidrat al-Muntaha, we have a place known as Al-Mustawa, my dear viewers. Al-Mustawa. This place is where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the scratching of pens. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the scratching of pens. And this is where the taqdeer, the destiny of each and every single person, it is written there, my dear viewers. Now, past there comes to the Arsh. And the Arsh, in comparison to the rest of the world, the rest of everything which is created, the rest of creation, all of the planets and everything, all of the heavens which are even bigger than the planets, and the galaxies and the solar system, etc. The Arsh, in compared to everything, my dear viewers, or everything in comparison to the Arsh, is like when a person, it is said, when he throws a ring into the desert. And the comparison between the ring and the entire desert, it's like nothing, my dear viewers. This is the entire creation in comparison to the size of the Arsh, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how huge it is, my dear viewers. Remember, the throne is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sit on, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from sitting. He is free, my dear viewers, because He is free from time and space. So it doesn't befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to like a creation, my dear viewers. You see, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to sit upon the throne, then this would give, or this would limit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any type of limitation. But rather, this throne is to show the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now remember, as soon as the throne ends, space also ends. So we have two things, one known as the three, space, time and matter, my dear viewers. Now, as soon as the throne ends, that's where space also ends, my dear viewers. That's where space also ends. So it was not possible, Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions in his Fatawa Radhviya Sharif, it is not possible, my dear viewers, for anything to go past the Arsh. Because that's where distance, there is no distance, there is no up, down, left, right, or anything. There is no on top of the Arsh. Because that's where space itself ends. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, then he and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke whatever they spoke. These are from their secrets. We do know some of their secrets, my dear viewers, which were shared to the Ummah. But for example, it was mentioned At-Tahiyyat. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said At-Tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawat wa tayyibat, that all oral, physical, monetary worship is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says As-Salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, Allahu Akbar. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, some ayat were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly at that time, my dear viewers, of Madani Channel. And that's also when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the gift of 50 prayers. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, after whatever happened, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come back down. When past the seventh heaven, he then reached the sixth heaven, as Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to him that no, ask for less prayers, your ummah will not be able to read them. So he goes back and forth each and every single time. It was reduced by five. So only five remained. As Musa again said, no, go back and ask for a reduction. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, I have shame to go back and ask for any more reduction than this. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam returns. When the Prophet ﷺ returns again on the Barak, I'll try to finish this quickly. The Prophet ﷺ then came back towards Al-Makkah Al-Mukarramah. But on the way, there were two tribes, my dear viewers. One tribe, they had lost their camel. And whilst they were looking for their camel, Rasulullah ﷺ went to the caravan, and there was some sort of utensil which had water in it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had drunk that water, and then he went past them. And then they came across another, and those people had, there was a red camel they had, and this red camel fell, and it had two huge loads on it, my dear viewers, on that one camel, and it was broken. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went back to Al-Makkatul Mukarramah. Some people may be thinking, why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drink the water? But remember, subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the keys of the heavens and the earth. Meaning everything is his in the first place. So for him to take it, he has complete right. Secondly, النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has more of a right over the people than even them themselves. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was completely, my dear viewers, allowed to do this, and he possessed complete authority to take that water. But there was a wisdom behind this. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to Al-Makkah al-Mukarramah, and then the next morning, and he said that Abu Jahl came across him and he says, you know, what is it, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he replies that, you know, in the night I went to Jerusalem, I went to the seven heavens, I saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Abu Jahl was thinking, how on earth was that? It takes us a month just to go to Jerusalem. You are saying within a portion of the night you went to Jerusalem and also the seven heavens? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. So this was Abu Jahl's time to now, mazallah, finally expose, as he thought of it, to finally expose the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mazallah. So he went and he called everybody around and said, look what your Prophet says, or look what he claims. But when they approached the Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he asked, was it Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Was it the Prophet of Allah who said this? He said, yes. Then the Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu said, then indeed he was telling the truth. And this is how he was given the title of Siddiq, my dear viewers. That person who also is so truthful, and he also endorses the truth in the face of falsehood, my dear viewers, of Madani Channel. So then they asked the Prophet ﷺ for proof that he went to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. So then they started asking ridiculous questions. Kam lil masjid min bab? How many doors did the mosque have? And obviously the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not count the doors, but he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this mentioned Sahih al-Bukhari, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had removed everything between himself and Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to look at the number of doors, count them, and then tell them this number of doors, this number of pillars, etc., etc. And so they said, our tribes are on the way. This is what they said to Rasulullah. So they said, when will these tribes arrive? So they're not the tribes, the caravans. When will these caravans arrive? So the Prophet ﷺ mentioned 4 days. When the fourth day came, night was approaching, the Prophet ﷺ did dua. So he said the day was prolonged. And then the caravans came. And then questions were asked, my dear viewers. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said that I took water from one caravan. And then they were asked, is there anybody that has water missing? They replied, yes. One person says, I had water, but then again when I checked, the water was gone and there was nobody who could have taken it. Another was, they asked, was there the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proving, he said that there was a red camel and it had broken. So the people asked the caravan, those people who had come, was there any such incident like this? And they said, yes, that we had a red camel. The red camel had a load and the load was broken. So this proved the truthfulness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Time has again come to an end. My dear viewers, inshallah, in our next episode, we will continue with the life, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب.